Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, is Airbnb deleting reviews hosts don't like from their website? And if you're a traveler that loves to visit national parks, we have a new resource you might want to consider.
Big box stores are getting into the travel business. We share a report by Christopher Elliott that offers some opinions on whether or not you should buy your travel from Costco. Also, an update on lithium batteries in the sky in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25.
Like it or not, passing through security is part of the airport experience. Our friends Sid Hanna and Dale Keller from Sacramento TSA join us at 11:35, and one of the things we'll ask is for an update on the possible change in taking liquids through checkpoints.
Lots of things happening at Maritime National Historical Park and the Wharf in San Francisco. The annual Fleet Week celebration is coming up in a few weeks, and there is a most unique reading of an old sea story on tap. We'll tell you all about it at 11:50.
Whether you are listening to us live or on the podcast, thank you for the pleasure of your company. Welcome to the radio show that makes you a smarter traveler. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome again, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along on a fabulous Saturday morning. Mark, how's things going? I know you are up to your eyeballs in catalog stuff coming your way here, not too long away.
We are. We are creating all kinds of wonderful new adventures for the people who travel with us on a regular or irregular basis, or maybe for some of you who have never traveled with Sports Leisure Vacations. Our catalog rolls out on the 20th of September at our tour preview day at the Sophia, which is home of the B Street Theater downtown. We take that over for a Saturday morning and afternoon, and we have about 500 people coming, and we have about 50 more reservations, mostly for the afternoon session. So if you'd like to come, you can go to sportsleisure.com or just give us a call at the office on Tuesday this week, because we closed on Monday. Listen, you went to one of your favorite destinations, and we didn't have time to talk about it last week. You took a jaunt down to Las Vegas, and you know, you and I are kind of Mutt and Jeff on Las Vegas. You love the place, and I have no use for it at all. So the only time people are ever going to hear anything about Las Vegas is if it comes out of your mouth.
Well, you used to be kind of regular with your travelers. You used to take them and stayed where we stayed at the Golden Nugget down on Fremont Street. You know, sometimes all of that can, over the many years that you've been doing it, can get a little old. But yeah, we stayed at the Golden Nugget, Fremont Street, the Fremont Experience. For those that visit Vegas and never have seen that, they just go to the Strip. You're really missing out. The Fremont Experience is definitely worth seeing. There's a lot of fun stuff to do down there. Gambling is a little looser. But we did venture down to the Strip. We had a nice meal at Wolfgang Puck's at the MGM while we were there to see the David Copperfield show, which has been around for a long time. David is up in age, but he really has a really great small show that you can't even talk about it if you think anybody's ever going to go, because you'll spoil it. I mean, it is really, really special. Of course, cameras and photography is absolutely banned. And we had great seats. Stephanie had an up close experience where he did a trick right in front of her, and she helped with the prop. And here again, I can't go into details without spoiling the show. But anyway, it was a little less busy than usual, but we had a great time.
Isn't downtown, in my experience, downtown is a little less expensive than the Strip, and maybe not quite as much drama? Would you kind of agree with that?
Well, yes, but it's dramatically different. You know, Fremont Street is they call it the Fremont Street Experience, and it's under a closed dome on Fremont Street with film being shown on this massive screen. It's the largest outdoor screen in the world. And it runs up and down this street, and it's constantly going. If you don't like loud music, you're not going to want to go, because it's loud all the time. And, of course, some of the casinos, like the new Circa, loud all the time. So it's something that you just kind of put up with. It's sometimes hard to know, especially in the evening, what is louder inside the casino. And then you step out and there's a band playing about 40 yards away, you know, in on Fremont Street. And they're just pounding it. And, you know, I mean, that's the place if you want to see weird stuff. Okay. Yep. There's people walking around that are offering themselves up to have photos
weird
with you.
Stuff.
You know, and so whether it's gals with feathers and bare cheeks or guys wearing nothing more than what might be described as a jock strap, there's a lot of that. We don't necessarily go there specifically for that. But, you know, some people might refer to it as a freak show.
Something for everyone. It's sort of which is really what Las Vegas has always been about. The players and the names of the places have changed over the years, but it still is. And with three airlines serving Las Vegas nonstop from Sacramento, certainly airfares, as long as Spirit stays in business for at least another 20 minutes. So that's three airlines that fly nonstop to Las Vegas, keeps the airfares very reasonable. Yes, there are other things to do besides gamble. We do a ghost towns tour that originates in Las Vegas that we will do again next October. So there are lots of things to do in Las Vegas besides gamble. They have figured out that if you go down there and you don't want to gamble, that there are other ways of separating you from your money.
Yeah, you know, there's the Mob Museum down there. There's the Neon Museum where you can see all the old Vegas signs. So there's plenty of other things to do. Lots and lots and lots of great shows. They are pricey, but in most cases, if you go to the name shows, they're well worth it because of the design and spectacularness of all of that. I have to say, taxi versus Uber or rideshare, especially if walking is not something for you, because they always put the Uber and Lyfts at the top of the garage a half a mile away, but the taxis will pick you up right in front. Prices are about the same. In many cases, it's cheaper. And taxis aren't like they used to be, where they were nasty, dirty, and the people driving them were scary. I thought everybody was pretty nice. In fact, we had two women taxi cab drivers. Both were from like Pakistan or somewhere. They were very nice. And for the ladies, I always go places with two women, my wife and my sister-in-law. Her husband passed, so we're kind of an entourage, and so it worked out. It worked out quite well.
Well, thank you for the review of Las Vegas. I appreciate the first person account.
All right. With that being said, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition, once again, here's Mark Hoffman.
Here's some interesting things. Listen, Air Canada had a strike a couple of weeks ago, lasted 3 or 4 days, just long enough to really wreak havoc with anybody who was using an Air Canada or what they thought was a United flight, only to find out it was an Air Canada flight. Air Canada has committed to covering out-of-pocket strike expenses for travelers. So if you were somebody who was impacted by that, had to arrange for a different flight, got stuck someplace, there's any number of situations, check with Air Canada on their website or on their app and see what there are some solutions available to you there that they would like to assist you if you had some expenses that were directly related to the fact that they didn't fly for several days. This is kind of interesting. This is the second time this has come up in the last few weeks about reviews on Airbnb. There are things that allow people, that allow Airbnb to remove your review. And you have agreed to these things because it's part of their terms and conditions. Turns out it's not just Airbnb, but it's just about everybody. In many cases, the host has the ability to go in and say, hey, wait a minute, this review violates Airbnb's policy in this way, shape, or form, and I want it taken down. and it can be taken down. Here's an example. You go to check into a, you make an Airbnb reservation, you go to check in, you arrive at the property. There's something dramatically wrong. You know, there's bugs all over. There's no power. I mean, there's something that is, it wasn't cleaned after the last guest left. You're not going to stay there. So you check out as fast as you checked in. But the fact that you never stayed on the property means that you are only allowed to make certain types of reviews. And so most of what you would have to say about the property can be immediately be taken down by the host because you didn't actually stay there.
Wow.
So that's just one of a number of loopholes that exist. So if you post a review for Airbnb or VRBO or any number of places, this could be a restaurant that you ate in. In many cases, the policy between the vendor and the provider of the of the review service allows them to be able to go in and take away some of the reviews that they don't like, which is kind of an interesting situation. I'll keep you posted on that as updates come on down the road. Here's something also cool I put in the headlines. There's a company called Guide Along. It was formerly known as Gypsy Guide. Guide Along has created tours for you if you're in your car. And let's say you're going to Yosemite National Park. You can plug this review, in this guide, into your car, your computer in your car, and it will pick you up a number of miles outside of the park entrance and start telling you all places to keep an eye out for and places of interest and information about the park and the like, and give you a guided tour once you get inside. They have it for I'm just using Yosemite as an example. There are about 15 of them in California. It looks by their map that there are there might be 100 of them for historical sites and national parks around the country. It's called Guide Along. There is a link at travelguysradio.com if you are somebody who visits national parks or other historical sites. These are not free. You rent them. And so there's a minimal charge. Looks like it started at around $15. But, you know, I take groups of people places, and we do a lot of homework to try to make sure that they get to see and do things that are really high on the list of things to see and do in that location. And I have to tell you, there are a lot of folks who go to national parks and the like, don't do their homework, get there, and don't really know where to go and what to do. So something like this might be something that would really be of help to people.
I think that sounds really cool. I mean, how many times have, you know, you've gone to a museum or whatever and it has a little device that you carry with you and gives you details, and it makes a world of difference in regards to the experience. I if it's not too overly priced, I'd be something I would try.
Yeah, as a tour operator, I do lots of scouting trips and stuff to different places. You know, you haven't been to even a place like Yosemite. You haven't been there 3, 4, 5 years. Things are very different, and you don't want to take a bunch of people there and not know what you're talking about. So something like this, I think I would find valuable because it might help lead me to things that I might otherwise miss along the way. We were talking about Las Vegas earlier. A Las Vegas casino CEO has, in this travel story, says that the days of Vegas being a place to visit because of cheap buffets are a thing of the past. And he's lamenting the fact that people are trading down from some of the more expensive restaurants in Las Vegas over the last 6 months or so and going for some of the lesser priced places, of which there are not as many as there used to be. Not as many buffets as there used to be in Las Vegas, Thomas?
You know, you're right. There are not. The buffets used to be the huge, huge draw. People would pig out, and you don't see nearly as many of them. Here again, as we talked about on the Strip, a lot of the really nice restaurants are, you know, when you look them up, they'll put they don't put the price, but they'll put a number of dollar signs.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
if you see $4 signs, you know, you're not touching anything for less than probably $100 and a quarter, $150 for a meal. And if it's got one or two, you know, then it might be between $50 and $75. They're trying to find a way, but it's tough. You know, it's like a lot of vacations. When you go, bring your wallet.
The head of the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority is the one who is reporting this news. It's coming from the casino operators themselves, who are saying that people are they're seeing a lot more reservations go untaken in some of the more upscale places, and people are opting for lesser expensive places in the casinos. This goes along with what we said about traffic to Las Vegas being down a little bit, and those things being an indicator of what the economy might look like 6 months down the road. So we'll wait and see. Sacramento Airport has been very busy this year. We're going to talk to our friends from TSA after the news at the bottom of the hour. Sacramento Met International Airport had a total of 1,328,000 people in July. That's wow. 1 month. When in business 46 years ago, the total amount of traffic for the airport for the entire year was roughly 1.3 million people. Now that many people passed through in 1 month, up to 202 departures on peak travel days. So, yeah, I can remember 200 departures would have been pretty much a week at the old airport. So, yeah, things have changed. We have broken a record for the most travelers being screened through security and the like. Unbelievable. A couple of things you can't fly with now. They're really cracking down on lithium batteries. If you have anything that has a lithium battery, you have to carry it on your person. And also, they strongly recommend, if it's something where you can take the battery out when you're flying, it's a device that you're not using, that you do so. Look for more rules, regulations, and stuff. These batteries are catching occasionally, not often, but occasionally are catching fire or smoking inside of aircraft. And that can be, as you know, there's no smoking on an airplane.
There you go. And, you know, a lot of people, you hear lithium batteries, everybody's thinking cell phones. But there are hair dryers and all kinds of stuff that people carry that have those batteries as well.
All right. Some airports, half a dozen in the country, are creating sample lines for families to go through security. Sacramento is not one of them yet, but we'll keep an eye on that and see. Orlando, Honolulu, Charlotte, Jacksonville, looks like Rhode Island's airport are some of the ones where this is being tried. And that is your travel news for today.
It's still August, so at least for a day or so, you can take advantage of the special at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, prime rib and prawns for $34.95. And also, if you go on a Monday, and this is all the time, this isn't just in August, for $70 for two, you get your choice from five different entrees, including lobster, chicken marsala, prime rib, golden fried prawns, filet, bourguignon, and all the fixins, all $70 for two. It's a really, really good deal. So, and like I say, the prime rib and prawns is $34.95, and it ends at the end of the month. So get out to Rudy's Hideaway. Tell them that the travel guy sent you. You can find them right there off of Highway 50 and Hazel. Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Remember now, links to our special guests and a lot of the stories we talk about can be found at travelguysradio.com. You know, I was looking at helping to find tickets for Disneyland, and Costco is a good place. Sometimes they'll have specials that are, you know, a little bit less than you can find elsewhere. But I noticed that, man, you can buy trips to about anywhere. What did Chris Elliott have to say about this?
Well, Chris is on assignment in Paris. We're going to catch up with him the next week or two and hear what he has to say about being in France. He issued a report on Travelers United. He talked about, is it safe to buy from a box store, big box store like Costco, for travel? And when I started to read this, I thought to myself, wow, this is going to be – he's going to carve Costco a new one and BJ's Warehouse Club and Sam's Club and some of the others that are selling travel because, I mean, why would you buy travel from a grocery store? I mean, basically. But that wasn't what he had to say at all. He basically said, look, some of these places can buy in tremendous quantity. So they can get pricing – that not everybody can. It's just like all the other products that they sell in their stores. So from a cost standpoint, Chris called them buyer-curated vacations, what Costco sells. They don't sell everything, They just sell, just like they don't sell everything when it comes to food or other supplies for your home. They sell things that they can get a good deal on and pass on to you. So you don't go to Costco and say, well, you know, I want to go to Lithuania. Please arrange this for me. No, you go to Costco and see what's on the shelf. And what Chris is saying is that Costco, BJ's Wholesale Club, Sam's Club, he mentioned Walmart. Some of these places now are starting to offer travel packages. And the other thing that he mentioned is, in some cases, they're offering travel certificates. So gift cards that if you could go in and buy a $2,000 gift card and it was 15% off and it was for some place that you were going to for a cruise line or a hotel chain or some place that you were going to use anyway, and the $2,000 cost you $1,700, then that might not be a bad deal. Now, Chris did point out, as we do oftentimes, that when you work without a travel advisor, you're kind of, you know, without a net. So make sure that when you're buying something from a big box store, you're going to be passed on to a vendor somewhere who's going to help you if you have any issues. So you're not going to go back to Costco. They're not going to help you. So it doesn't hurt to be a little bit familiar with the destinations that you're pursuing when you're looking at that, at big box travel, because their customer service, obviously, isn't going to be on the same level as you might get from a travel advisor. But if it's someplace you know, and you know it's a good deal, and you're comfortable with it, then it might be a possibility. If not, then I suggest that you pay your travel advisor a few bucks, and in some cases, they work off of just commissions, and they can help you plan the vacation of a lifetime. Dale Keller and Sid Hanna from the TSA at Sacramento International Airport.
Sid, Dale, thanks again for being with us here with the Travel Guys.
Hey, our pleasure. Happy to be here.
So, guys, how are things going out at the airport this summer? There's been at least one major change to the way people go through security, and there have been rumors that we might see some changes in the liquids policy too. Bring us up to date on those two items, if you would.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, it's been very busy year and lots of good changes. Everything that obviously the big change is for standard passengers being allowed to keep their shoes on now as they transit security. You know, the other thing we had prior to that that's kind of slipped by. We had the Real ID implementation as well in May. And now, yeah, there's talk that we may very well see the liquid gels aerosol prohibition or restriction, I should say, being relaxed and probably possibly being waived for the TSA PreCheck customers. So lots of movement, lots of change. Again, very busy. You know, six of our top high peak travel days of the since TSA's been in existence since 2002, six of those have occurred in this year alone. So we're growing, we're busy, and lots of great things happening.
Did I see that we have broken the record for number of passengers screened in Sacramento at least once or twice already this summer on a single day?
Yes, yeah. And we're very near that all-time record. Believe it or not, the all-time record was December 1st of last year. And yeah, we're pushing right up on it many days this year. So, you know, I love seeing the growth at Sacramento. You know, constantly, you know, year over year, month over month, everything. And it's growing. You know, which speaks mounds to the airport, to the airlines, to everybody. But it is it's just a really great place to be. Seeing the growth, seeing where we're going. It's very exciting times.
Gentlemen, no longer having people take their shoes off through the regular lines, have you seen that speed things up?
Yes and no. It definitely, on the whole, it moves people along. Where it does slow things down is some shoes do alarm, you know, and then those individuals who do alarm, they do have to stop and go back and take them off, which does slow down them individually. But we have found that a lot of our travelers who know that their shoes will cause issues, they're taking them off to begin with. You know, if they know they're going to alarm, they go ahead and preempt it. But usually it's you know, it's those non-traditional travelers, those once or twice a year type flyers, you know, wearing their boots with the big heavy metal lugs, things like that in them that will alarm and
got it.
Cause a little slowdown for them. But overall, yes, it is a much faster process.
Guys, let's make people smarter travelers here for a minute. What is the worst time? What's consistently the busiest time for to get through security at the airport?
That would be our morning push, really. Both Terminal A and Terminal B, all airlines. We are moving right along from the time we open, which we've expanded to 3:45, 3:30, and 3:45 at the terminals, and we're moving peak times up till at Terminal B, 10 o'clock. Terminal A slows down a little bit sooner, but it is very busy pushing out all the originators and all those connection flights first thing in the morning. And obviously, Mondays and Thursdays and Fridays are the absolute peak days.
Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays, for those of you who are listening. All right, so what is the easiest time to get through security? Later on in the afternoon, early evening?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, those anything, usually 3 o'clock on, going to be nice and easy, mellow, especially obviously if you're TSA pre-check, you're going to fly right through without an issue. But even standard passengers, where we have a good staff or we're staffed well, we have great technology, all the other things go about. So, those afternoon holdups are not near what we used to see in the past. So usually anything in the afternoon, late afternoon and early evening, you're not going to have a problem at all.
So those of you who are listening, particularly those of you who only travel infrequently, and we're always telling folks, make sure you allow enough time at the airport. Take note of the fact if your plane leaves between 5:15, the early United to Denver, if you're on the O-Dark 100, and you've got a flight up until 9 o'clock or so in the morning, that you really need to allow yourself, not only for the parking situation as you get deeper into the morning, but enough time to be able to get through TSA. There can't be any worse feeling than being in a 15-minute line at TSA and knowing that your plane leaves in 25 minutes. So just give yourself enough time so that you don't have to freak out not only yourself but all of the other people out at the airport also, because there doesn't need to be carnage among the innocent just because you showed up late at the airport. That's one thing for sure. Dale and Sid, we're talking with Dale Keller and Sid Hanna from the TSA at Sacramento International Airport here on the Travel Guys. Guys, some people have been known to comment recently that, gosh, the pre-check line is longer than the regular line. What percentage of people would you say, and maybe you have exact numbers to know this, what percentage of people who pass through the security checkpoints are pre-check versus non-pre-check customers?
Our TSA pre-check on average is right about 37%. When you take in the other expedited passengers, it can push into the low 40s, and those were over 75, military in uniform, things like that. So yeah, it's definitely TSA pre-check is growing. The manner in which it is being made available is much easier than it used to. We have the registered traveler program with CLEAR at SMF, and they can actually do your TSA pre-check enrollment there. It's easier to sign up for rather than having to find those strange remote, federal DHS offices that are in, scattered throughout a town somewhere. You can actually sign up for it much easier at the airport, at the checkpoint. So that's helping our numbers grow. And to, obviously, if people are flying more than once a year, it truly is the way to go. And, Sacramento, yeah, we move well. We don't have, issues with extended wait times in standard or pre-check. But when you hit those bigger airports, you really will be happy that you have TSA pre-check instead of being a standard passenger, flying out of Phoenix or L.A. or anywhere like that. And so it's very beneficial. It's definitely gained in popularity. And, a lot of people are definitely jumping on board.
Before we let you guys go, how is things going with the real ID? I know there was a deadline. It was passed. We've passed that. Are there any issues? Are people flying through with their real IDs? So how's that going?
It's actually going quite well. We're at a very, I'd say, if you want to talk a percentage of compliance, we're in the high to mid 90s. And that would be those with a real ID or an alternate acceptable form of ID, which would be the passport and certain other, government approved IDs. And that's growing. And, we're finding as we move closer, and there's talk, we don't know for sure, but we are, there's talk that next May, the 1 year anniversary of the initial enforcement date, that it will go to a much stronger enforcement. Whereas now, if somebody does not have the alternative acceptable ID or the real ID, we just do some additional screening. There's talk that possibly in next May of 26 that those individuals won't have that option. You know, we won't be able to perform additional screening, that if we don't have, if there's not a way to verify their identity, then they simply will not be allowed into the checkpoint. But again, that's talk. We don't know exactly how that's going to work out, but we do expect some additional enforcement in next May of 26.
So, gang, if you didn't get your real ID and you think you're going to scoot through forever with just a little bit of extra checking, the word might be that you probably should go out and get the real ID, because there may come a day when they say, nope, you're not getting on the airplane. Dale and Sid, thank you very much for some of your time, gentlemen. If the lines of communication are open, if anything happens that you need to get the word out right away, why, please give us a shout and we'll do our best to help you.
Greatly appreciate it. Thank you for having us.
We are so fortunate to have a great relationship with the Sid and Dale with the TSA. They're always easy to get a hold of, easy to talk with up front about what's going on there. I think they are great spokespeople for the TSA.
Well, they have always made themselves available to us, which is, I think, something of value. You know, they're the guys on the front line out there. So if they were willing to come and talk to folks on the radio, I think that proves that they're accessible and that they're trying to do a good job by the public. I'm sure there are folks who, I know there are folks who hate that whole TSA experience, but I have pre-check. And so, you know, I've got metal in the sides of my, both sides of my body, so I have to go through the special screener and stuff like that. So it's a little bit of a production for me, and I don't find it to be any issue. I know people who have special screenings because they're carrying securities or something like that, and they contact the TSA out there, and it's somebody meets them at the counter and takes care of the whole nine yards. So I'm going to suggest to you that things at TSA in Sacramento go pretty smoothly. The guys mentioned, by the way, briefly about, you know, that they don't have a lot of issues with long waits for folks at TSA in Sacramento, but some airports do. So if you are, remember, if you're flying from Sacramento, you got to come back from somewhere. If that somewhere happens to be Seattle or LAX or San Francisco is known for this also at certain times of the day, don't assume that you're going to zip through security at your return airport just the way you did on your outbound airport in Sacramento, because this is a little bit of an anomaly. And especially if you're flying at peak times of the day, early in the morning or late in the afternoon on the East Coast is the opposite of the West Coast. It's much busier on the East Coast in the afternoon. The 5 o'clock bank of flights coming westbound is huge, whereas on the West Coast, you don't have a big bank of flights going eastbound at that time because they wouldn't get in until midnight. So it's the whole psychology of which part of the country that you're in is a little different. So remember, you keep that in mind when you're traveling.
Hey there, Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget links to our special guest today and all the stuff you need to make you a smarter traveler at TravelGuysRadio.com. Joining us today from San Francisco, Darlene Plumtree. Darlene is the CEO with the San Francisco Maritime National Park Association. We're here to talk about Fleet Week and so much more. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Darlene.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Darlene, you have some very special events, September and October. Those of us who have lived around here for a while, it's not a secret. Really, September and October bring some of the best weather to the San Francisco area of the entire year. You have some special events coming up. Tell us about the first one in September.
Oh, we do. Well, the first one in September is Saturday, September 13th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's a free event. And it is a full day of music, maritime fun, and waterfront festivities here at the San Francisco Maritime National Park, the Aquatic Park Cove. We will have live outdoor music inspired from sea traditions, sea shanty performances in the beautiful historic Maritime Museum building, a sandcastle contest on the beach, and a parade of historic small boats in the Aquatic Park Cove. We'll have exhibitions, a puppet show, and story time for kids. So it's a great family day. So we have a whole lineup. You can go to our website at maritime.org under events, and you can look up all the performers and activities that will happen that day.
We'll have a link to that at travelguysradio.com. Darlene, is parking readily available and public transportation for this event?
Yes, it's fairly easy. We're right across the street from Ghirardelli Square. There's a nice garage there if you can't find parking on the street.
Excellent.
You also have, Darlene, in October brings Fleet Week to San Francisco, which has always been, at least as long as I've been around, a huge celebration on the bay, on the water, on the land. Tell us a little bit about the Blue Angels are going to be there, as they usually are. Tell us a little bit about what you have planned as a special event for that day.
Okay, well, we have at Pier 45, we have our submarine, USS Pampanito, docked there, and we have a pier side party, an event, Fleet Week viewing event there on Saturday, October 11th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Blue Angels usually fly about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but we have all kinds of activities planned for that day. The beer is sponsored by San Francisco Brewing Company. We have an author, Mitchell Rossi, who wrote a book called Sea of Betrayal about World War II. We also have, in our visitor center, we have an interesting model of our submarine that was made for a TV movie called War and Remembrance. Won a couple of Emmy Awards, and the two gentlemen who made the model will be there to tell their story about making the model. It's 30 feet long, and it really works. They actually submerged it. They shot torpedoes out of it. It has fins that move up and down. It's pretty amazing. And it's our submarine is 300 feet. This is 30 feet. So it's pretty impressive. We will have food and beverages and just a lot of area to sit and relax and get a great view of all the air show activities.
And you have one more special event in October.
We do. We have October 18th and 19th. It starts on the 18th, a Saturday, at 12 noon and ends on Sunday, the 19th, at 12 noon. It is a 24-hour marathon reading of the epic Moby Dick by Herman Melville. This is a tradition that we've had here for several years. It's kind of a secret San Francisco tradition. We allow people to stay in the museum building all night until the next morning. It's pretty amazing. People do have different ways of interpreting the novel. There are dramatic readers. There are some people who actually come in costume.
Hold on just a second here. Somebody is going to sit in a museum and read Moby Dick from cover to cover over a 24-hour period. Am I getting this right?
Yes, you're getting that right.
People are going to come and listen to this for the...
Yes.
Do people stay up the entire time and listen to the whole thing? Or I'm just trying... It sounds a little bit strange to me, so I'm just trying to make sure that I'm understanding the strangeness of
it
all.
Yes, it's 132 chapters. Yes, people sign up to read specific chapters.
Oh,
you know,
see.
There's lots of interest in the novel. People come and go. You know, some people will be there for the first 6 or 7 hours, take a break, go out, get something to eat, and then come back and stay for the rest of the night. People that work late, we've had people that are nurses and people that get off of work at midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning, come on over and read a chapter or listen to someone else read a chapter.
Well, wow. I can see that you'd need multiple readers. It'd be difficult to read the whole. I just want to come.
Yeah.
I want to come and read the first line. What is it? Call me.
Call me Ishmael.
Yeah, I'll just come to do that.
A special appearance by Tom Romano. to read the first line. That is really cool. I would say, well, only in San Francisco, but you've already told us that this is happening in other places too. The Moby Dick reading, is this something that people sign up for online? Is there a charge for it, or is it a free event?
No, it's free. It's a free event. And we do have a web page where you can sign up for your favorite chapter.
All kinds of cool things going on. And you mentioned back at the beginning there, Darlene, the whole maritime area down there is now a national park, designated a national park area. Is that correct?
Yes, it was designated a national park in 1988. And so it's like a water park. There's a small... You know, if you've been down here, you know Hyde Street Pier, and then it wraps around where the museum building is and goes out towards the Muni Pier. It's like a little semicircle of a park here, urban park.
Darlene, this is all very exciting stuff. As Tom said, we will put a link to maritime.org at Travel Guys Radio. So if you're driving around and you're like, this kind of sounds kind of cool, you could head down to San Francisco for all or part of a weekend and enjoy some of the maritime-related activities there. Thank you, Darlene, for all of that information. Have a good time the next couple of months, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for sending out all of the information on a regular basis.
Okay, you're welcome, and thank you for having me.
The reading of Moby Dick from start to finish in 24 hours... And sitting and I wonder how many people actually go at the beginning and stay until the very end. You know, she alluded to the fact that some people might come after work, catch a few chapters, go home, or others may come and stay all night. I mean, what are your thoughts, Mark?
What a fascinating idea. I would never do it myself. For Moby Dick, but there's probably something that would get me to, spend a night in a museum or it sounds like fun. I suppose you'd have to be kind of dedicated to want to do something, like that, but gosh, she sure has an array of wonderful activities going on down there. Maritime.org. is where you can find and we put a link at travelguysradio.com, and there's a bunch of links from this week's show. So if you go to the website, also just a quick reminder that if you listen to the show live each week, but if you miss it, the show minus the commercials and the newscasts are turned into a podcast, and you can pick that up. You can actually sign up for it at our website, and you'll get a notice each week when the podcast is ready, usually Sunday or Monday, and you can click right on it. So if you miss a live episode of The Travel Guys, you can check us out that way.
Anyway, folks, we're about ready to wrap it up here for The Travel Guys. We want to thank you for coming along. Remind you, we'll be back next Saturday, same time at 11 a.m. And as Mark said, check us out at travelguysradio.com.
And remember, as always, dance like nobody's watching. See you next week.
Never has the time to turn around.